Merlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. The CDC is adjusting its guidance for the COVID-19 vaccines, moving from outright recommending them to now saying that vaccination is a personal choice. North Carolina mom Rochelle Begar.
I want to be able to get my kids the vaccines, especially the COVID boosters, on time and when it's going to be best for them when we're coming up on the season.
After voting to block a new government funding bill from House Republicans, the Senate is now on recess until September 29th. The current funding bill expires just a day after that. Senate Majority Leader John Thune.
We're prepared when we get back to have a vote on a bill already passed by the House, be ready to be signed by the president. All it takes is a handful of Democrats to join the Republicans in keeping the government open and funded.
Minority Leader Chuck Schumer also urging bipartisan cooperation. And at least three people were killed in Ukraine overnight after a wave of Russian airstrikes. This is ABC News. Eric Siebert, the interim U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia, resigned last night before President Trump could fire him for not finding evidence to criminally charge one of Trump's rivals, New York Attorney General Letitia James.
Siebert informed employees he resigned before Trump could fire him, upending one of the premier prosecutor's offices in the country that handles terrorism and espionage cases as the president pursues political rivals.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. Employees working abroad for some major tech companies, including Meta, Amazon, and Microsoft, are reportedly being told to get back to the United States as quickly as possible. It comes after President Trump signed an executive order increasing the cost to start or renew H-1B visas. Those workers also reportedly are being advised to cancel future travel abroad. And the United Nations General Assembly kicks off in New York this week. I'm Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
Constipation with belly pain that keeps coming back and back and back. If your symptoms keep coming back, talk to your doctor. It could be irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C. Linzess could help you get ahead of it. Linzess linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
WISS, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
For Civic Media News, I'm Sholly Pittman. Parents in Wisconsin are more stressed than ever, and 1 in 4 say they don't get the social and emotional support they need. That's according to a UW-Milwaukee report. Judith Ruiz Branch of the Wisconsin News Connection has more.
Professor Liz Sharda with Hope College says parenting stress represents a mismatch between demands and available resources exacerbated by self-reliant nuclear family models.
So this expectation that we have to do it all, that we have to be everything for our children and for our family system. And those expectations are kind of operating in a context of a real decrease in social connection and increase in loneliness.
Sharda says moving back to a society that embraces collective care could help to ease the burden on parents. That includes building support networks before they're urgently needed and shifting expectations about parenting to ensure both caregivers and children are getting the support they need. Collective care is grounded in interdependence and belonging and involves seeing others' well-being as a shared responsibility rather than an individual burden. This can range from formal arrangements events such as co-housing communities to informal neighbor relationships. Sharda says families with stronger connections to others demonstrate greater resilience in handling both daily stress and crises. She emphasizes the value of having multiple people committed to a child's well-being, offering diverse strengths beyond what individual parents can provide. Sharda stresses that this parenting epidemic needs macro-level solutions.
We also need systemic and structural changes too. We need support for policies that make connection possible. So it's not just an individual problem or a family level problem, but a societal problem too.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to WISS, the Fox Valley's home for the Midwest Farm Report, with me, Pam Yonke.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. A chance of showers and thunderstorms today, a high around 72. Showers and storms possible tonight, 61. Partly sunny and mid-70s on Sunday. Again, some scattered showers and thunderstorms, especially in the afternoon. For Monday, scattered storms in 73.
It's 64 at our studios.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'll be joined by Professor Howard Schwaber of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. We discuss what went down on Friday at the CDC and what that portends for expertise in America. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. A Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. So happy to have Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute CEO, back on this week. And we're going to have an intense talk here, all four segments with Robert, if he has the capacity, because I know he's a busy guy. But a lot going on, and a lot going on with Native American Community Development Institute, too. I was just down there, too, and saw the great booklets that they're handing out, and the market happened today, and it was good to be down there and see relatives. Robert, thank you so much for coming on, as always.
Yeah, bonjour, Robert. Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure. Were you at the market today? I must have missed you.
Yeah, I was there for about a half hour. Yeah, I got there early. I had a pre-record I had to do at this studio out in Eden Prairie with a client, and so it was I was short-lived there, and then I was checking out what's going on at the Indian Center on the 25th. I'm going to do a live show there, and that's on your Thursday. So we're going for the gala there, and I know you guys have two tables, so I'm going to bring one of my portable chairs and join you. Oh,
you're always welcome. Yeah, that's a great place to start. Next Thursday is the 50th anniversary gala of our Minneapolis American Indian Center. It should be great. Originally, NACDI, our organization, was just going to take one table, but so many people were interested in attending, we expanded it to two. I'm sure we could squeeze you in there, Robert, if you need a place to sit. But yeah, this is a big deal, 50 years, and folks who listen regularly probably know that we just have a new renovation and addition, and it's just spectacular. So there's a lot to celebrate there.
Yeah, it really is. And a former student of mine, Bobby Wilson, will be there too as MC, and I do believe.
So yeah, when he's MC, and I see he's doing a couple of MC gigs while he's here.
Yeah, Yeah, he did one at the Indian Center with, I believe it was the food. They were just at your market too. They did a thing on Sunday, and he was
there. Yeah, Dream Wild Hell.
Thank you. Yeah, God.
They do their food, native food tasting event, which is so very popular.
Mm-hmm.
And Bobby Wilson was emceeing for that.
Well, and if people aren't aware who Bobby Wilson is, he's a writer, comedian, a 1491er, also Reservation Dogs writer, and he also was he acted in one of the series. I remember he owned a head shop, and also he was with Rutherford Falls. He was a regular on Rutherford Falls.
He was a regular. He was a writer there as well. And yeah. One of them, he's very funny, very talented, super successful. And one of the things I really am always impressed by with Bobby Wilson is how respectful he is to people and respectful he is to us elders, Robert. And that amazes me. And something I will never forget about him is that he was actually born in a house in the Phillips area. And he's probably one of the youngest people that I've ever met that had a home birth. But so folks who aren't from Minneapolis will know Phillips area is kind of the core of the Native community as well. So I just think that's fascinating.
Well, if you have the capacity, I'd love to have you join me and we can wrangle in some people on that day. I know you'll be busy shaking hands and stuff, but we'll start at 5 and people will be rolling in about the time we go live. So just throwing that out there. If you're busy, you know, putting your tux on and things like that, I'll understand. But
I'm going to be busy eating.
That doesn't happen until 7, though.
So. No, I would love to be on, and I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a great room to work.
Yeah.
And I just love that in our community, we have rooms to work, right? And so I'm really looking forward to it.
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
Yeah. It wasn't that long ago we really didn't have it, right? We didn't have that place to see and be seen and connect with community leadership and things. So I'm excited.
Yeah, that's I'm just taking pause on that. That's exactly right. Jeez, good point.
Oh, yeah. Well, you'll know this back in the day. So folks who are familiar with the American Indian Culture Corridor on East Franklin Avenue will be familiar with a restaurant called Maria's. Maria is an Ecuadorian immigrant, it opened up as this little tiny one storefront restaurant. Now it's expanded to several storefronts. It's in the ancient traders building, a native-owned building. And when it opened, I was in politics. I was a Minneapolis City Council member, and that became my go-to place to meet with folks and to schedule breakfast or lunch meetings. Yeah. And it's just a wonderful success story. When it first opened, East Franklin was kind of rough. And I remember the legendary tales of Maria's staff having to literally fight their way into work in the mornings, you know, through some of the criminal elements that were hanging out there. But I loved it from the beginning because it became a go-to spot for a lot of politicians or public people. And I was like, dang, here in Phillips, we didn't used to have a place to sort of see and be seen. And, you know, now we do. And now we have several. But back then it was really a new feeling. And I was so proud of our community and our neighborhoods that we produced a place like that, and people clamor to be there, right? So
yeah, you're absolutely right. What's interesting too, I was able to, because I was going out to Eden Prairie where the AM 950 is, after heading out there, got to pass Maria's, but also before that with the Native American Community Clinic, that place is hopping right now. Jeez.
Right. So another one of our legacy organizations, Native American Community Clinic, they are in process of constructing an incredible new facility, 6 stories, 2 stories of services, and then 4 stories of housing, if I'm not mistaken. And it's a big deal. I mean, this is like skyscraper kind of construction, you know, concrete construction, sort of a disruption. There's no parking anywhere around the area, but man, it's a huge enhancement to the community, to the American Indian Cultural Corridor. And it's one of about half a dozen major projects that are either in process or recently been completed, like the American Indian Center, or planned right in the Native community, Native-led projects. And so this is exciting. This is growth. This is, you know, how I view it. And again, being an elder, I just turned 65 this last summer, you know, and we were given such gifts from our elders and ancestors that founded American Indian Movement and this density of Native organizations and services and presence along East Franklin Avenue in that area of American Indian Culture Corridor. And so I'm concerned that about what we do with this legacy, right? And so I really feel it being kind of in this, you know, generational trajectory, and just to see these things building on what was given to us by our, you know, our recent ancestors. I feel like, yeah, okay, we're doing them proud, right? This is this is what we should be doing. And so it's very gratifying to see.
Well, I am totally, we have more to talk about with the Avenue and what's going on with Native American Community Development Institute. So I'm really happy that we started out in a good positive vibe here, because we got to get later on in the show talk in the trenches. And I'm so happy that you could be with us
for
the whole hour, Robert. And I saw what you were doing last week, and my daughter was waiting tables on the mayor at the same event that you were at. So that was
Dinner du Nord.
Yes, that was very cool. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're with Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
The green and gold tailgating. The frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Robert Pilot. We are with Robert Lilligren. It's the Robert Show. The only person missing is Bob Blake from Red Lake, I think.
We'll have to have him on next week.
Yeah, we'll have to change the name of the show. Hey, and you're CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And yeah, a lot going on the Avenue, too, and a lot of positive things.
A lot. One thing I'd love to talk about is, I don't know if you caught this, but this week on Good Morning America, they featured the Red Bears, which is a youth program. Yes. Did you see it?
Yes, I did. Somebody posted it. Yes.
Yeah. So this is an incredible youth athletics program. There's a really amazing community leader, Mukwa Roberts, who kind of reinvigorated the whole program. And so it's multiple sports, football, basketball. And he's really rebuilt the whole program from the ground up. And it was just, it's inspiring seeing Southside Red Bears, they call them. And our organization, NACTI, supports them by being their fiscal agent, which is great. But those guys are just doing it. And so they were featured on Good Morning America. They were presented a $10,000 contribution and one of those great big checks on the air, and knowing Mukwa and the incredible work he does in the community, he can go to a lot with $10,000. And so it was just good to honor Mukwa, to honor our youth that participate. And we know what the outcomes, what improved outcomes we see when our youth are participating in programs like the Southside Red Bears.
Yeah, wow. Really good point. I'm really glad you brought that up, too. I got to get somebody on to talk about that. Really, it's amazing the good things that are happening and in Indian country, despite what's happening nationally. And it's just an amazing time we're living in. And, you know, we'll talk about that in a little bit after you have any more great things to talk about. I know you had a great update on, we've talked about it a couple times, where you have that great magazine with all the native businesses and that thing.
Yeah, businesses and services. We call it the Resource Guide, the Community Resource Guide. And we just published a new version of it very recently. It's online as well at our website, NACDI.org, NACDI.org. And so we launched the online version first. We just recently released the print version. And we had an event at the Minneapolis American Indian Center last Friday, a little reception. And I mean, dozens, hundreds, scores, maybe hundreds of people came and took a lot of copies of it. And it's as comprehensive as we can make it. It has services, you know, health services, housing. It has businesses. On the back of it, there's a QR code where you can upload your business information, which you can put on the website. Right away, the online version, we can put in the next print version. And it's just, NACDI produced one of these about 12 years ago. Yeah. Wasn't nearly as comprehensive or extensive as this one, or quite as beautiful. We have cover art from Jonathan Thunder, renowned artist. And people kept saying for years, even just very recently, they'd stop into our office and say, oh, do you have any of those guides left?
Wow.
Those resource guides from 12 years ago. And we're like, no, a new one's coming out. And we were able to leverage funding from the state, the health department, from a local health provider, Alina. We were able to bring on permanent staff, M. Mattson, and they just did a marvelous job on this and beefed up NACDI's storytelling and our communication so we can tell our story, but the community story even more thoroughly. And so it's just been a home run. People are loving it. People stopped in at the event on Friday at the Indian Center, and they were saying, oh, I'm so glad you did this again. I've missed this. We needed this thing, you know, and people are really excited about it. They're taking cases of them to their own organizations and things. So, you know, people are on the corridor. You can stop in just about anywhere, I'm sure, and they would have some out. Or go online at NACDI.org and check out the resource guide.
Yeah, well, I saw them. They were out with the magazines at the coffee shop today. I saw those.
Oh, nice.
They had a nice little setting there. That's excellent. So next week, too, you have an important job. I do believe it's the same day. It's the same day as
the gala?
Yeah, and it has to do with pickles.
Yep, and you'll be there too, right? So,
well, I found out that I didn't return an email, so I'm not on the. I'm not on the. So
yeah,
like, okay.
They're on a tight ship there at Four Sisters Farmers Market.
I was surprised and sad, but I still get some pickles.
You show up, right? So we're having we partner NACDI and Indian Health Board locally partner and hold our pickle off. It's a contest, a pickle contest. And I just love it. This is our fourth annual.
I think I've missed one. You know.
Yeah, the first one was over at Little Earth, but their garden, their farm, and we kind of combine a little bit of politics, you know, and voter registration and voter outreach. We invite candidates to be present. Where this is a municipal election year here in Minneapolis, and so there's categories spicy, sweet, dill, and those are our cucumber categories. And then there's the other pickle. So you can pick a lot more than cucumbers. And man, people really respond. They love it. So I'll be a judge. I thought you were going to be a judge, too bad. Maybe next year Yeah, maybe emails, Robert, and then but it's fun and community comes together. We're actually going to block off the whole street out in front of NACTI on 15th Avenue there. Oh. And have a kind of street fair, make a street fair out of it. And our market manager, Destiny Jones, Ho Chunk Woman, really has amped it up a little. And then Indian Health Board's Cassandra Holmes as the key driver and organizer. And so it's going to be fun. And if folks are wondering about it, the NPR will be there as well. You'll be there. Media will be there.
Yeah.
And NPR did a great story last year. Melissa Olson, native reporter at Minnesota Public Radio, did this great story. There's this hilarious picture of me sniffing on one of the pickle entries there, you know, getting the smell test. And so they're bringing a whole cadre of reporters this year. So it's going to be big.
Yes, it is going to be big, and it's exciting, and people will be able to taste the pickles, too, so it's not just the judges, and that's what I like, is to get a little bit of everything.
Right, and we're doing it in a much more sort of orderly and hygienic way to get the tasting out there, and people are delivering their pickles early. It's going to be great. It's going to be so much fun, so I encourage people, that's next Thursday, 11 to 3. Right in front of our building, the yellow building with powwow grounds and all my relations arts, and the street will be blocked out. There'll be music and things. So, yeah, come on down. And well, another very cool thing. What's that?
No, I said go ahead. I was going to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Oh, all right. No, NACTI is also sponsoring a short film festival this Saturday, 6:30 to 9:30 at All My Relations Arts Gallery. Oh, I think that's where it is. I shouldn't be telling people if I don't.
Yep. I saw some of the names of the short films, and Ajawak, who was in he's a prominent actor and director and filmmaker, and he was in Iron Horse, I think. Was it called Iron Horse or Indian Horse? Indian Horse,
Indian Horse,
you can see on Netflix. He's got a movie, and I saw that.
He's got a movie that's called The Comedian. He does, Ajawak's. Former NACTI staffer Elizabeth Day has a short in there called How the Bear Got a Short Tail. But there's 2, 4, 6 films. And so this is the first time we've done this in our All My Relations Arts Gallery. It's the brainchild of our gallery program director, Juliana Enright.
Yes.
And so she just took this and ran with it. And it's really going to be something.
Well, what I'm really excited, we got let me check the clock here. We only have a minute or two left that we haven't talked any politics. We've just talked about joy. And I really, really like that. And one of the things, too, I was talking to somebody who's not from here, kind of about, you know, natives really stepping forward the last couple decades. And there's things that we're doing. There's things that are happening. We have strong economic development. We have all these things that weren't there at one time, and we should be proud. And here in the Twin Cities, should be really proud of what's happening, you know, on the culture corridor, but also all over the Twin Cities and the state.
And the state and the country of the world. I just had a conversation today with a new NACTI board member, brilliant young emerging Native leader. And I was saying to her, we were having this conversation about how, with all the troubles in the world and all the damage we've done to the world, you know, I think indigenous solutions are the solutions, right? And so now that's starting to percolate up. And as our former gallery director, Rory Wakemup, used to say, everyone's indigenous from somewhere. It's just the amount of time it's been since you were colonized, right? So how do we all find our way back to this indigeneity, which is inherent in all of us, really?
Exactly. And you and I have talked about that, too. And I've heard the great speaker, John Trudell, talk about that, too, that, you know, is that we've all from a tribe at one time or another. If you look far, far back into your, we're the last ones to hold on, though. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. Segment 3 is coming up, and we've been positive the whole time. I am digging this. This is Native Roots Radio, and we're with Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis.
From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. The CDC is adjusting its guidance for the COVID-19 vaccines, moving from outright recommending them to now saying that vaccination is a personal choice. North Carolina mom Rochelle Begar.
I want to be able to get my kids the vaccines, especially the COVID boosters, on time and when it's going to be best for them when we're coming up on the season.
After voting to block a new government funding bill from House Republicans, the Senate is now on recess until September 29th. The current funding bill expires just a day after that. Senate Majority Leader John Thune.
We're prepared when we get back to have a vote on a bill already passed by the House, be ready to be signed by the president. All it takes is a handful of Democrats to join the Republicans in keeping the government open and funded.
Minority Leader Chuck Schumer also urging bipartisan cooperation. And at least three people were killed in Ukraine overnight after a wave of Russian airstrikes. This is ABC News.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to WISS, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
What's next for the Miz? Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers play the Cardinals again tonight in St. Louis. Last night, Milwaukee losing 7-1. Starter Jacob Mizorowski pulled from the game after just 3 2/3 innings pitched after walking three batters and losing command of his pitches. Manager Pat Murphy is not sure where to use the Miz at this point as a starter or in the bullpen once the playoffs begin.
Yeah, I think it's obvious that right now he's not on track as a starter. But it doesn't mean he won't be. Just he certainly will be in the future.
NFL, the Packers play the Browns in Cleveland tomorrow at noon. Running back Josh Jacobs on facing another defense designed to stop the running game.
A lot of these teams that we play, we already know they're going to load the box. It's going to be 8 to 9 guys in there. Safety's going to be flowing hard. It just is what it is. It's what we got to expect. So we got to learn how to make adjustments from that.
College football, it's the Badgers in Maryland and Madison. I'll have a recap coming up later tonight with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on WISS.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. A chance of showers and thunderstorms today, a high around 72. Showers and storms possible tonight, 61. Partly sunny and mid-70s on Sunday. Again, some scattered showers and thunderstorms, especially in the afternoon. For Monday, scattered storms in 73.
It's 64 at our studios.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, 2 indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
Looking for live entertainment in a unique setting? Discover the Thrasher Opera House in Green Lake, Wisconsin. The historic venue offers a full calendar of professional live performances with artists from around the world. With its intimate seating and exceptional acoustics, the Thrasher provides an up-close and personal experience with free parking, affordable pricing, and an easy ticket buying process. For event schedules and ticket information, visit thrasheroperahouse.com.
Does Trump's big bill end taxes on tips and overtime? No. President Donald Trump's new law exempts certain tip and overtime income from federal tax, but the deductions expire in 2028 and come with limits. Workers earning under $150,000 can deduct up to $25,000 in tips and $12,500 in overtime. Social Security, Medicare, and state taxes still apply. The Tax Policy Center says 2% of households will benefit from the tip provision, saving $1,800. The White House estimates $1,400 in average annual savings from the overtime deduction. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we get to know one candidate for Secretary of State, another for the state Senate District number 17. All coming up. Join us.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I want to be your next United States Senator, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone, and we want Lieutenant Governor to be our next senator. I appreciate her doing that. I corralled her, Robert, at the fair, probably a little before you saw her. I had to ask her to do that, and she had no problem. She's done bumpers for us over the years and been on the show many times. And
Well, for folks who don't know, Peggy Flanagan is our current Lieutenant Governor. She's my waiter's sister, and she is running for the U.S. Senate for an open seat.
Yeah,
I think has a very, very good shot at winning.
Absolutely, I agree. Hey, I just got to say this. I didn't see you yesterday. I was at the elder picnic, and oh my God, I've never seen so many elders. Oh,
I heard it was great. And yeah. NACD was a sponsor of the event, along with a lot of others. But I just heard super positive things. I was actually up in Mille Lacs, in the Mille Lacs Reservation. We had a three-day staff retreat. So I was busy planning for the next 3 years, so I had to miss it. But I heard it was just great.
Yeah, well, we saw the Make Voting a Tradition was there, tabled. There was a couple NACTs. Oh, geez, Native American Community Development Institute. I finally fell into that hole, Robert. Sorry. Geez.
And I think did you have one of the big coordinators was Maren Hardy. And I think you had her on, didn't you, recently
yes.
to talk about
yeah.
it?
Well, cool. I had her on like three times, and I had her on the day before it too. And it was funny. She wants to take your job. She was saying that she wants to host a show sometime during the show, and I went, okay.
I think she would be great.
Yeah. Well, I have to still beg you to do it when I go on vacation too, because we have that Brown Institute kind of vibe going here.
Yeah. We're professionally trained.
Yes. Well, I know you are. Well, we've tiptoed around. We've talked really positive here. Are we ready to talk about free speech and who does that apply to? And geez, what are you thinking? How are you feeling about things?
It's hard to tell who it applies to. It feels very, very much like McCarthyism, right?
And yeah.
People are afraid to say the wrong thing about the, you know, and it all was kind of triggered by the murder of Charlie Kirk, right? And ironically, I mean, whether you agree with the guy or not, I don't, but he shouldn't have been murdered, and that's bad. But ironically, you know, he was a major free speech advocate,
yeah,
right? And now people are getting fired and canceled for just saying anything critical about him, and so. It's kind of the opposite of free speech. And, of course, the GOP and the MAGA folks were the biggest voices against cancel culture, when they felt they were the ones being canceled. Now they're just canceling everyone. And, you know, Jimmy Kimmel is taken off the air temporarily. I did just hear, just before I came on, that Jon Stewart is going to be hosting on The Daily Show tonight in response to this. So I'm sure he's going to be red hot, so I'll be watching that tonight for sure. But it's just crazy. People are losing their jobs in, you know, in any realm, media, education, for saying anything critical about this person.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have people out there that are really stepping up in saying things like, you know, the things that you're doing are illegal, and we have a midterm coming up in less than a year, and you better lawyer up. And I appreciate that kind of talk, because this is just outright illegal, ridiculous, and lying. And the 30-35% MAGA people are digging it, and they don't care. And but we know that hopefully there'll be you know, things going down with these people that are doing this. I mean, he's hired so many incompetent people. Did you see the FBI? The person, the head of the FBI, has never been in the FBI. He doesn't know what's going on. He's a podcaster. Doesn't he have a radio show like you and I? He's a podcaster.
He's a lowly podcaster. Can you tell? I think it's clear to everyone that this president's objective was not to run a government. It was to destroy democracy, destroy a government. So you put these, strategically put these incompetent people in place, and they're shredding federal institutions. And, you know, I'm a reform guy. Change is good, but this is harming people. And it's this prevailing attitude that as long as it's not harming me, or as long as it's not harming people, harming people like me, it's okay. Right. And it's not okay. And there's this odd mentality going through, you know, this MAGA mentality where, you know, sort of white supremacy, it benefits me, people voting against their own self-interest, but just to keep things out from other people from getting things, right?
Well, I just can't, and I don't know, we're a child of the 60s and a teen of the 70s, and I don't remember, and I could be wrong, during the Vietnam War or during 1968 when all hell broke loose, similar to this, if the press, mainstream media was so complicit. I don't remember that or know that or old enough to know that.
Right. It seemed like, and I'm with you, who knows, that wasn't my focus back then, you know, kind of where's the next party was more my focus at the time. But it does seem like there was at least attempt to be balanced in news reporting. And, you know, I mean, there's always a political sort of leaning connected to periodicals or TV stations. But it seemed like there's an effort to show both sides. It was an effort to respect different opinions. And and that's no, you know, that's not how it is now, right? It's
right.
How do I shred my perceived enemy?
Well, that's even in sports. If you listen to the sports people now, they're just yelling into the yelling into the screen. I just don't buy in both sides do it. I just don't buy in that, and that's what the media now is talking about every chance they get. And I don't know if it's because they're fearful of getting canceled or what, but. Grossome, my goodness.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, risk it, right? I respect people like who have big platforms like Jimmy Kimmel or like a Stephen Colbert or someone like that. You know, they just went for it and they're suffering consequences because of it, but at least they did it, right? And then a lot is getting kind of sparked here locally. And we had a horrible mass shooting at a Catholic church and school here just a few weeks back, and children died, and elders died, and so that has sparked more sort of vitriolic back and forth, and you know, and then locally we had a series of mass shootings so far, no fatalities, but you know, just a few days apart, all around the Native community, some involving the Native community. And there was a mass shooting where 5 people were shot, one where 8 people were shot near a homeless encampment, and it just seems to be heating up and ramping up, you know, more than what I would like to see, which is cooling down and calming down.
Well, again, for me, I do not have any problem with hunters. I don't have a problem, you know, with fishermen or any of that stuff. But when you have these kind of guns and they keep on talking about it's mental health and things like that, well, first thing it is, it's the guns. And we need to talk about that. And, you know, I don't know if we talked about this, Robert, but I can't believe how many times I saw the murder of Charlie Kirk on the internet. Right. And I mean, it just popped up. I wasn't even looking for it. And what, 20 years after Kennedy was assassinated? I mean, then we saw the Zapruder films. It's just too much.
It is too much. And I have managed to not see it. That kind of, I can't watch that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
but and he, you know, he was one guy. Again, whether you agreed with him or not, he shouldn't have been murdered. But he was a huge gun advocate. He was a provocateur, right? He said things deliberately to anger people, and mostly kind of lived his values and died his values, I guess. But there have been other more heinous crimes going on in the shadow of this Charlie Kirk murder, and you know, and no one's paying attention to those. You know, and so it's kind of sucking the oxygen out of our news culture, I guess. And then with all the people being canceled, academics being fired, people being fired from their jobs for criticizing.
Right.
Yeah, it's not where I thought we would be in 2025.
No, I mean, really good point. And I want to tiptoe around more of this, but I got to bring up this whole Republican factuation against transgenders. They have to bring this up on everything. And now it's reported that his roommate, the shooter's roommate, isn't even transgender. That was just put out there. And, all I have to say is this when it comes to being transgender is like Caitlyn Jenner's transgender and she's Republican. That's all I want to say. They're people, for goodness sake. I mean, they're not.
They're all people, right? And it's a small percentage of our population. You know, it's who really cares what someone else's gender expression is? You know, and the fact that our transgender brothers and sisters, relatives are being so vilified right now, it's shocking. And it makes me wonder what goes on in your head to feel like someone else's gender expression is threatening you, right? Why are you so insecure in your own gender identity that someone who has a different expression is threatening? I just don't get it. Exactly. We need that enemy, right? They need that enemy to organize around. But like the whole transgender athletes, I can't remember what the percentage of college athletes are transgender, but it's something like 0.003%, right? So this is what we're going to be all bent out of shape about, is this minuscule minority of athletes. I
don't get it. And It's the boogeyman. We had to have boogeymans when they're coming at us, and this is the boogey person. And as you know, Robert, and you know, I'm not a cultural expert when it comes to being Native, but transgender and Two-Spirit were the leaders of our tribes, and they could do everything. And that's something I always want to bring up and remind people out there that they were revered as Native Americans.
Well, I love it, and I love being part of this contemporary culture that we're defining, right? What does it mean to be Indigenous in the 21st century? And how often I'm in groups with my Two-Spirit brothers and sisters who are really assuming these historical sort of cultural roles, educators, carers, governance, artists. It really satisfies something.
Well, hey, thanks, Robert. We got another segment here. This is Native Roots Radio. We're with our friend Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And so happy that you can be with us for another segment and wrap this show up. Thank you so much. This is Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back after this short break.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
This update sponsored by UW Credit Union. For every stage of life, UW Credit Union is here for every you.
Every regular season Friday home game at American Family Field, ticketed fans 21 and over who sit in the Miller Lite beer pin in the left field loge bleachers will receive a free Brewers can holder, courtesy of Miller Lite and Leinenkugel's.
Join UW Credit Union at uwcu.org, insured by NCUA.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Oh-ho! This is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka Hicha! Wicha!
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. We are here with Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minnesota. And we're just wrapping it up here. I really appreciate these conversations. I'm so happy we started out the way we did, too, because there are so many good things happening in our community, despite what's happening around us. And that's something I think is really Native.
I agree. And, you know, we used to talk a lot, and we still do, about our famous resilience, but this is beyond resilience, right? This is defining our own futures, right? Defining what culture means to us, what life means to us here. And in all this depressing news, it feels really good here.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to doing a live broadcast with you. I hope you, I hope that'll be okay with you. I'd put you on the spot here on live radio.
Yeah, of course. This is at the Indian Center 50th Anniversary Gala, right?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, cool. No, I'm looking forward to it, of course.
That's very cool. And just to celebrate that, and like you said, 50 years, there's so much blood, sweat, and tears when it came to visualizing this and then having it, and then now just recently remodeling it. I mean, visionary people are amongst us.
Right. And there's a lot of folks in the community, friends and colleagues, and they were kids in the Indian Center, right? And our good friend Carrie Day Aspinwall, she said, as one of the first people, you know, in the door once it finally opened. And
yeah.
Renowned architect, native architect Sam Olbixen, who was the architect on that project and, wow, on a bunch of projects all around the American Indian Culture Corridor. But he was a kid that took part in their programs. And it's just really produced a lot of really amazing results, a lot of really amazing people. So you just wonder, you know, with the growth of the programming, the expansion of the cultural practices and programming there, what the next generations are going to accomplish.
Absolutely. And just, I get chills when I think about people like Clyde and Belcourt, who was American Indian Movement, one of the founders, and just those people that have had vision and didn't say no. And now we're reaping a lot of the benefits because of, we always talk about the seven generations before and after us.
Right. And so now I consider that whole generation the founders here, right? And we have this just wonderful density of the fruits of their labors, the Native organizations, Native people here in Minneapolis, and Native engagement, Native activism and advocacy, and we're losing a lot of them now, right? They're our ancestors now. And so I think it's important for everyone along the generational trajectory, but especially those of us who are, we're closer in age to them and kind of remember what their transformation, the transformation of their work here, and that we don't squander this. If there's something that keeps me up at night, it's that. Are we squandering these gifts? I don't think that we are, but I think it's very important that we continue to really be serious about how we build on their successes.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that your organization does well, and I think a lot of other organizations try to do, is really be welcoming for all our Native brothers and sisters, because we've talked about this before, Robert. We have, I believe, I think it was
150.
Yeah, tribes that are represented here in 75,000 Native Americans just in Minneapolis, the urban Minneapolis. And I know we're here in St. Paul hiding out too.
Right, right. And yeah, it's an amazingly rich and complicated community. And so what's our relationship to the outside world, to our nations, to the outside governments? But what's our relationship to each other look like? You know, and I'm thrilled to work at a place like NACTI. I love what you said, Robert and Chimigwech, about us being welcoming. That was a theme that really percolated up at our recent 3-day staff strategic planning retreat. The sense that we're a welcoming organization, and we try to be a welcoming community. And, you know, other kinds of work here, we have a 50-plus-year-old leadership forum called the Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors, MUD, yes. M-U-I-D. I'm currently the chair of MUD. And we kind of grapple with this. What kind of an urban Indian community are we? You know, are we there's 150 kind of choices here, right? Mm-hmm. And we're on Dakota land. And how does that influence? And I'm going to share this. I was not planning to, but this we're having this conversation just this earlier this week in this 3-day NACDC staff strategic planning retreat. And we were talking about, and I think about our community this way, it's international, right? We have 150 nations represented in our metropolitan area. And so that's international. And, you know, and I often think of the relationship between those of us who live in cities and those of us who live on reservations. And there's dynamic there, right? And how we can better join forces. And as we're having this conversation, one of the staff members was leading it about our international community. I started to think, well, you know, that's a more open and welcoming term than saying urban Indian or reservation Indian, right? We're an international community. And so I've been thinking a lot about that just in the last few days. And I think I'm going to start using different vocabulary. And I always describe myself as a third generation Minneapolis urban Indian. Yeah. I'm really part of an international community that exists in Minneapolis. So I don't know. That's really raw thinking, and I wasn't planning on talking about it tonight. But it's really come forward in my mind.
I think I have to agree with you now that you bring it up. Standing Rock, there was indigenous communities from all over the world putting up their flags each time they visited. And I was there, and Australia was there giving a flag and doing a ceremony. I mean, I like how you're thinking about that.
Yeah. So again, it's new thinking for me. Standing Rock was such a pivotal point in, I think, modern culture, and certainly in the approach that I take to my work. And so I'm glad that you brought that up. I was pinpoint when I'm talking, especially to non-Native audiences, you know, the founding of AIM, you know, and then Standing Rock, and these are pivotal points for me.
Yeah, me too. That's amazing. We got a couple minutes left. I guess what I want to end up talking a little bit to you about, because of your background, but also you're a public figure too in the community, and people know you all around. How do we protect our soul, and first of all, let me back up before you answer that. I got a next meeting you have with your staff, I got to get the combination to the door. No, I'm just kidding.
Never.
But how do we protect our soul here in these dark days?
Well, I don't have all the answers here, but this was another huge topic of conversation at our recent retreat, and we're really elevating that. And at NACD, we operate with an indigenous approach where we care for ourselves first, then our families, then our community or organization. And it's taken a while to really embrace that. And so now, what does self-care look like? You know, and it's in, we're looking to culture, traditional practices, elders, supporting each other, but really caring for ourselves. And, you know, it's sort of a lot of the icky stuff that's been happening here in the Twin Cities. And then nationally, you know, these dark times are really having an impact on people, and you can see that in relationships with each other. But we're really going to integrate and programatize more time with elders, cultural practices, and NACD is the smudge capital of the cultural corridor. People come to our office to smudge. We smudge a lot.
That was like my classroom. We did it before it was legal when I was teaching in St. Paul Public Schools. Hey, Robert, thank you so much for spending this whole hour with me. I really appreciate it, and great to see you, and keep up the great work. And I'm just, you know, pleased to call you a friend. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm back at you. I appreciate it. And yeah, take care. We'll see you soon. Giggle Abaman.
Right on. Hey, this is Native Arts Radio. We'll see you tomorrow.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Arts Radio with Minneapolis.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt Nair on Air.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison, where I'll be joined in studio by singer-songwriter Eric Jelen and UW Cinematheque's Jim Healy, and I talk about Robert Redford. Let's light it up state capitol style.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights from 6 till 8. Hey, it's Amanda, and we all know that Northeast Wisconsin has some of the best events around, but trying to find them all can be a little tricky. So here at WISS, we decided to do the work for you. Prevent boredom on any night by going to WISS.fm and click events in the top right corner. You'll never have to spend forever scrolling to find out what's going on in your area. And if you've got an event to share, hit us up! Email info at WISS.fm. We can work together to have real news and great conversation while giving you the 411 on what's happening in New Wisco.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on WISS, Oshkosh and Appleton.
This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on WISS, Oshkosh, and Appleton.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. The CDC advisory panel is no longer outright recommending the COVID-19 vaccine, instead opting to make vaccination a personal choice. Dr. Georges Benjamin is the executive director of the American Public Health Association. He says virus cases generally start ticking up around this time of year.
COVID is still here, and it's still impacting our communities and ourselves today.
The CDC's move has also sparked confusion around whether insurance will cover COVID vaccinations. Protests continue over Jimmy Kimmel Live after ABC decided to preempt the show indefinitely following criticism of the comedian from FCC Chair Brendan Carr, specifically around comments Kimmel made on the show after the killing of conservative influencer Charlie Kirk. Ukraine now says three people were killed in Dnipro overnight after a wave of Russian strikes that used more than 600 drones and missiles. This is ABC News.